for headlines. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization, an economy-oriented regional institution, gives Iran full membership by a unanimous decision. Africa is facing a 470 million shortfall in COVID vaccine doses this year after the COVAX Alliance cut its projected shipments. And the Dutch government is set to introduce a corona pass showing proof of vaccination to go to public places and social events. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. With our top story, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization has officially given Iran full membership by a unanimous decision. Iran is now the ninth member state of the economy-oriented regional organization. The decision was made at the SCO's 21st annual meeting underway in Tajikistan's capital, Dushanbe. The two-day meeting began earlier on Friday. It brings together heads of states and top officials from member and observer countries. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi is in attendance. He thanked the Shanghai Cooperation Organization for supporting Iran's full membership. The country joined the organization in 2005 as an observer state.
Another round of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization's Heads of State Summit is being held in the Tajik capital, Dushanbe. Since its foundation 20 years ago, the Eurasian bloc has defined itself as a multilateral organization concentrated on fighting terrorism and extremism, ensuring regional peace and stability, and increasing economic cooperation. The association was first founded in 2001 in Shanghai by China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. India and Pakistan later joined the bloc. Aside from these eight members, the summit includes four observer states: Mongolia, Belarus, Afghanistan, and Iran, a country with a policy of expanding cooperation with the East, whose formal membership has been supported by some of the other members, including China and Russia, which believe the country's regional influence would serve the bloc's interests, mainly in facing new challenges. The SCO is the largest regional organization in the world in terms of population and territorial coverage. It is home to almost half of the world's population, and its members own nearly a quarter of the global GDP. In the words of the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, SCO is a leading player in regional diplomacy with firm commitments to inclusive multilateralism.
The SCO is a leading player in regional diplomacy, promoting multilateralism and fostering cooperation to address the most pressing peace and security issues in Eurasia. The organization represents the largest combined population of any regional grouping in the world, over 3 billion women and men, more than half of them children and young people.
The SCO members have made significant achievements over the past years in different fields. In 2021, the foreign trade volume of the bloc reached $6.6 trillion, which is 100 times as much as it was 20 years ago. The total economic value of the bloc also stands close to $20 trillion, more than 13 times higher than its initial amount. Moreover, statistics show between 2013 and 2017, the SCO institutions have made great contributions to the global fight against terrorism by preventing hundreds of crimes and arresting thousands of members of terrorist organizations. The successful interaction of the bloc's members has even resulted in the creation of a political term, the Shanghai Spirit, a concept that highlights the association's main principles: decision-making based on mutual respect, equal dialogue, and consideration of the interests of all member states. These principles have paved the way for the development of the organization and the expansion of its influence to such an extent that today, at the time of growing unilateralism across the world, one can consider the SCO a success story of coexistence of diverse states with different ethnic and cultural traditions.
Welcome to News Review. Thank you for joining us. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi addressed the 21st annual meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Raisi said Iran supports diplomacy and multilateralism while rejecting the policy of sanctions and pressure. The Iranian president said unilateralism is already declining in the world. He added global challenges today need to be resolved through collective cooperation. The Iranian president condemned the U.S. for its unilateral sanctions and creating chaos in West Asia. He said Washington needs to be held accountable for what it has done in Afghanistan. President Raisi also said Iran deserves the right to have sanctions against it lifted. Joining me in this edition of News Review are Mohammad Marandi. He is a professor of international studies at University of Tehran, joining us out of the Iranian capital, Tehran. And also Andrew K.P. Lung. He is an international and independent China strategist, joining us out of Hong Kong. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining News Review. I want to start off with Mr. Andrew K.P. Lung. I want to know what your opinion is about the overall significance of the SCO's meetings, given that this is the largest regional organization in the world in terms of geographical coverage and population.
The influence of any organization is not just measured in this the population it represents or the economy it represents, but the role it plays internationally, not just within the region. For that matter, economically, of course, even though there is a huge population there, the SCO itself has not lived up to its reputation so far. But then things are changing with the joining of the organization by Iraq and with the American retreat from Afghanistan, leaving the space for more international partnerships in that part of the world. Now, I think that the prospects for the SCO to play a much more important role are clearly on the table. Now, you mentioned in the beginning that the SCO focuses on anti-terrorism. That's how it first started. But since its foundation, the organization has embraced much broader issues like military exchanges, cultural exchanges, and of course, including some joint military exercises, but also talks about trade, investment, improving the diplomatic relations with all the membership countries. Now, if you look at the membership, it covers, of course, Russia, China as the original founders, but also including large countries recently of India. Now, the inclusion of India is important because India is not exactly an ally of China. In fact, the two are at loggerheads. But by including India, it paves the way for countries to learn how to deal with one another, rather than imposing sanctions and military coercion. I think a lot of the problems are going to be talked about and discussed in a peaceful, cool-headed manner. And because no two countries' interests are the same. For example, even in the Central Asian bloc, Tajikistan and also Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan and so on, not all of them are on all fours, on all issues. But I think that the, and likewise between in Iran and its neighbor Iraq and Afghanistan, for that matter, means different things to the different members. It means something to China in terms of the Xinjiang separatist movement, but it also is an important player in the kind of rivalry in the Middle East. So I think that this is a very important platform, not because of its size or the peoples it represents, but because of the space opening up for the SCO to play with a different kind of method to deal with international issues. Rather than using sanctions but relying on frank and open and cool-headed a kind of a discussion focusing on cooperation and even allowing for some competition.
Thank you. Let me bring Mr. Marandi in a discussion. Well, Iran has gained full membership status after 16 years of being an observer member. Now, how do you think Iran is going to benefit from being a permanent member, and how do you think the SCO is going to benefit by granting Iran a full membership?
Well, Iran is the most important power in West Asia, and its fortunes are on the rise, its allies are on the rise, so it is a very important addition to the organization. On the other hand, the future of the global economy is in Asia. It is the powerhouse of the economy. It is the now the center of gravity with regards to global politics increasing as Western countries are on the relative decline. So as the United States constantly tries to harm Iran, as it tries to hurt Iran through dirty wars, such as in Syria, by supporting genocidal wars like in Yemen, by supporting Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda and the Taliban in the 1980s, and then later invading the country, these countries, the United States has constantly tried to isolate Iran, harm Iran, marginalize Iran, and this membership, this organization provides an opportunity for Iran to increasingly weaken U.S. capabilities in doing so. So it is both very good for the organization, it's very good for Iran, and it comes at a time when the situation in Afghanistan is increasingly important for all major Asian powers. The United States, after all, destabilized Afghanistan in the first place to create a Vietnam for the Soviet Union. And they then occupied Afghanistan later because it lied in the center of very important countries such as China, Iran, Russia, India. And now that the Americans have been forced to leave, they have a strong incentive not to allow Afghanistan to become a source for integration and Asian development, but rather a thorn in the side for its political rivals. And therefore, this opportunity brings these countries together, these Asian countries together, Iran, Russia, China, and other neighboring countries of Afghanistan, in order to prevent the country from falling into civil war and from disintegrating.
Thank you so much. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining this edition of News Review. And I've been talking to Mohammad Marandi. He is a professor of international studies at University of Tehran, joining us out of the Iranian capital, Tehran. And also Andrew K.P. Lung. He is an international and independent China strategist, joining us out of Hong Kong. Welcome back. The lineup of Afghanistan's new caretaker government announced recently continues to spark mixed reactions in the Afghan society. While many welcome the formation of the new government, many others believe that such a government will not last a long time because it is not an inclusive one. Amin Alemi reports from the Afghan capital, Kabul.
The postponement of declaration of an inclusive government by the Taliban has faced mixed reactions here in Afghanistan. Many Afghans praise the Taliban for bringing calm and security for locals, but in the meantime, they are concerned about the fate of their lives due to political instability and widespread poverty and joblessness.
Security has been restored since the Islamic Emirate has taken power in Afghanistan, but we are facing serious challenges, especially when it comes to social and political issues. Most government bodies and banks are not functioning, and factories remain closed.
This comes as the Taliban say, "We are committed to form an inclusive government in order to bring a lasting political stability and peace to this war-ravaged country and want locals to be patient." The Taliban have already left out women from the cabinet lineup. This has led many to voice their concerns regarding the rights of women under the new government in Afghanistan. A Taliban spokesman, Sohail Shaheen, announced recently that Taliban will protect women's rights within the religious law. Despite this, some major cities of Afghanistan, including capital Kabul, have so far witnessed demonstrations by women rights activists as a reaction to Taliban's no to the presence of women in high-ranking government positions. The international community is under growing pressures from the global's public opinion to urge Taliban to establish an inclusive government by including women and respecting their rights in the society. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
The World Health Organization says Africa faces a 470 million shortfall in COVID vaccine doses this year because of cuts in shipments. Vaccines expected to reach Africa by the end of the year would be enough to vaccinate only 17% of the population there. That's according to the WHO's Africa unit. It says that figure is far below the 40% global target of inoculation. According to the organization, the International COVAX Initiative has been forced to cut Africa deliveries because of global vaccine shortages. The WHO says the shortages are partly due to export bans put by rich countries. It has warned that the lag in shipments to Africa could result in emergence of vaccine-resistant variants. That could send the world back to a square one. In the Netherlands, people will soon need to have a coronavirus pass for visiting public spaces such as restaurants and theaters. From September the 25th, the Dutch should show proof of a COVID vaccine or a recent negative test to enter those places. That came after Parliament on Thursday approved the measure introduced by the government. It was passed by a narrow majority. Opponents said the pass is an effort to stimulate vaccinations despite government's pledges that jabs would not be mandatory. Prime Minister Mark Rutte has said the Netherlands is still in a dangerous situation. He said the pass is needed to prevent a new wave of infections, as almost all social distancing measures are dropped. France and Germany have introduced similar passports. Well, that does it for this edition of World News. Thanks for your company.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Over 20 years on since the Soviet invasion of 1979 came the U.S. invasion of 2001, under the pretext of 9/11. Add another 20 years and you get the U.S. withdrawal, leaving Afghanistan to the Taliban. Altogether, that's 40 years of different reasons to fight or run for Afghans. Iran has been a popular destination for those 40 years and more. It may not be a long way, but it's a hard way for Afghans crossing the border in a panic to get into Iran. Many did try for visas, which Iran was granting at the speed of light given the recent wave of turmoil in Afghanistan. But still, things went wrong for some. To hear of their struggle and how things are once they get in, and what hosting refugees means for Iran, stay with me, Leila Faramarzi, on Iran Today.
Thank you.
It's education and health services on offer, as well as livelihood opportunities for refugees. Also, they can access banking services. Actually, it's a matter of helping refugees thrive, not survive, as UNHCR worded it. Ms. Jaffari did a law degree here, but dreamt of starting a coffee shop. She got her dream cafe, Cafe Telma. It was one of a kind on account of what it served and who it was owned by.
The cafe became famous within a month through the support of Iranian domestic media. The cafe became busy and people from different cities visited to see our progress. We had customers from cities across Iran. It was exciting. The fact that we served Afghan cuisine that people liked was a point of attraction. We had regular customers coming by to eat an Afghan dish, gabeli polo, each day. Their revenues have been good too.
But there are limitations and numbers are high. Iran has been dealing with one of the largest and most protracted urban refugee situations in the world. And as I spoke to our cafe owner over past days, she was out of business for 3 weeks already. Having run a popular bustling cafe for 2 years, Ms. Jaffari contemplated opening one up in Kabul. But that was in early summer when the situation in Afghanistan had already deteriorated, so the Iranian government didn't allow her to exit this country. She's resident of Iran, hence their concern. And 2-3 weeks after her attempt, the Taliban had already taken over in Afghanistan anyway, and she wouldn't want to return.
In the past, it was different. In the past, the Taliban weren't as advanced, meaning if we wanted to return to Afghanistan to build our country, it was easier to predict the situation. Now it is more difficult because the Taliban have more facilities and equipment such as guns and tanks, among others. Maybe one day everyone will unite and return to Afghanistan.
As of March this year, we had up to over 3 million Afghans alone in this country. That's 780,000 registered refugees and between 2.1 to 2.5 million undocumented Afghans. Over 474,000 Afghan national children are receiving education in Iran completely free of charge. And Iran spends about 20 trillion riyals every year on the education of foreign national students residing in this country. The head of the International Affairs Department of the Ministry of Education, Ghulam Reza Karimi, confirmed this. Now, all said, what of kids not covered by the government? Self-governing schools such as this one, Farhang School, are a refuge for immigrant kids who couldn't make it into public school. Although, since 2015, they are officially allowed into public schools by a leader's decree, whether they are registered or not. So what's holding them back? Mr. Mousavi, the principal and founder of the school, will tell us in a moment.
In 2015, fortunately, an order was issued that Afghan children can study in government-funded schools with Iranian documents. This order was executed well for 2 or 3 years, and the majority of children were able to go to schools. The first year this order was issued, we had 500 students, and roughly 300 of them were able to move on to public schools. But in the years that followed, unfortunately, conditions became more difficult. Other challenges existed. For example, Afghan immigrants lived on the outskirts of the city, in areas where a large population of Iranian children lived. In these areas, we still have schools that operate in double shifts. This is because of the high population of kids.
It's a valuable effort. The school sets the foundation for kids to carry on to public schools, and if they choose, university. And some of those university graduates have returned to train new students in what was their own early school and chance at a better life.
The special school for Afghan citizens operates under the same auspices as Iranian public schools. It is not separate, meaning we have received our operation license and we are regulated. We accept any Afghan immigrant child and educate them until their families are able to solve their Iranian residency problems. We are a bridge for children coming from abroad
where they become socially accepted and familiar with Iran's educational system. Also, this system is a transition point for those migrating to Iran who will join Iranian society. They become familiar with the culture, language, and books.
I got to talk to some of the kids and a parent who labored to put his son through school in Iran to see him take up medicine in Afghanistan. The school appears homely with kids, happy. They've turned up to register for the new school year beginning with autumn, 23rd of September.
I thought there was more peace of mind here, maybe because they teach us better here. In Afghanistan, there was not a lot of peace and security. For example, some cities experience explosions.
My mother brought us here because there was no stability and security in Afghanistan. Also, she thought the educational system in Iran is better and there is peace here.
It's a very good country with nice people who are friendly towards us, but maybe some Iranians might not feel comfortable around us, but that's okay, it's their country and maybe that is how they feel.
As soon as there is peace in Afghanistan, I will return to my own country because Afghanistan is my country and I am more comfortable there.
As for where school might lead, that's university, 57% of international students here are studying for a master's degree, 27% for a bachelor's degree, and 15% are educating to receive a PhD. This is while the remaining 1% study at other levels. Law, Persian literature, and computer engineering are the top three fields of study for foreign students here. The parent we got to talk to just put his son through school here, we said. His aspiration was medicine, and he took it to Afghanistan. But his legacy met with challenge.
I've been in Iran since 1989 and later got married and had a child. At the time, our child didn't have an Iranian national identification card, so he was not able to go to schools in Iran. We came to Mr. Mousavi's special school. Our child studied at the special school for Afghan citizens for several years, and then we were issued a family visa. After that, we were able to send our child to public schools. We took the educational documents from Mr. Mousavi's school to register our kid in public schools where our child was accepted and made high grades. After getting a high school diploma, our child took the National University entrance exam where they received marks that would allow them to study to become a medical doctor. But they told us that Afghan citizens were not allowed to study in Iran. So our child went back to Afghanistan where they completed 3 years of medical school that was disrupted by the Taliban.
Back to Iran. A healthy mind comes with a healthy body. And out of 970,000 foreigners, men and women in working age of 15 to 60 years, some 36,000 are under social insurance coverage in this country. The statistic was confirmed in July 2018 by the head of the Social Security Organization's Department for Foreign Nationals at the time, Ahmad Reza Khazai. I've more facts and figures on different matters for you confirmed to me by authority a lot more recently. Mehdi Mahmoudi is Director General for Aliens Affairs. Let's hear him out.
We have been providing services to asylum seekers for 40 years in five different fields. The services are in the fields of aiding in livelihood, employment, education, healthcare, and emergency response for natural disasters. We cooperate with international organizations, particularly with the UN in Iran in these fields. Together, effective services have been provided. Over 550,000 students have studied in Iran. A portion of these students were categorized as in need of education who didn't have permission to study. These students were registered.
120,000 refugees were assisted to access Iran's health insurance scheme as of April. The national insurance scheme allows for free COVID-19 treatment and hospitalization. It also subsidizes, namely, the cost of surgeries, dialysis, radiology, laboratory tests, and outpatient care. However, many refugees are not able to afford the premium costs, and Iran is almost alone in handling the refugee situation. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR's 2021 funding appeal of under $100 million US dollars is only 7 or 8% funded.
A number of Afghan nationals who come to Iran are actually asylum seekers. Each year, we are giving 1 year temporary residency under the arrangement plan. Some of the Afghan immigrants have entered Iran with valid documents and visas who come for education, employment, tourism, and medical treatment. Also, there is a portion of Afghan immigrants that enter the country illegally. Those who enter illegally face legal penalties and are deported. Also, borders need to be controlled and regulated to prevent people from illegally entering the country.
Registration or Amayesh card holders, visa holders, and undocumented but registered Afghans can access basic education, healthcare, including COVID-19 treatment, and humanitarian aid, in theory as well as practice. Amayesh card holders are eligible for conditional work permits limited to 87 different types of employment, primarily in construction, agriculture, or other vocational industries. And in October of 2019, Iran ratified a bill granting citizenship to children of Iranian mothers and non-Iranian fathers. That has allowed more than 100,000 children of Iranian women married to foreign nationals, mostly Afghan and Iraqi, to become Iranian citizens. Time for a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Always room to manage more, but there have been interesting developments, partly on account of the people. One is that surgeons are offering free services to refugees or immigrants, as they prefer to call themselves, due to the contribution they've made to construction in this country. All that after a quick media review, though. Here's what other news outlets are saying. Tasnim News notes, as has the Financial Tribune, that the U.S. wouldn't help without gain. It just makes a mess and leaves it behind. U.S. West never help others. Have inflicted carnage on Afghans, says the Iranian president. President of Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, decried the policies of the U.S. and other Western governments that have never proved useful in settling the problems of other nations, saying they have only wreaked havoc on the Afghan people over the past 20 years. The U.S. and Westerners have never untangled any problem facing other nations and will not do so in future either, the president stated. He pointed to the American invasion of Afghanistan, saying the Western policies have only wreaked havoc on Afghan people for 20 years and have not brought about anything but carnage. Tasnim echoes exchanges between the U.N. and Iran. U.N. chief hails Iran for hosting Afghan refugees. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, described Iran as a very influential country among the UN member states and praised the Islamic Republic for hosting Afghan refugees generously. In a telephone conversation with Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian on Thursday evening, September the 9th, Guterres congratulated the top Iranian diplomat on taking office. He then appreciated the efforts of Iran in generously hosting Afghan refugees, stressing his commitment to supporting Iran's efforts in hosting the displaced persons. For his part, Amir Abdullahian emphasized Iran's readiness to cooperate with the UN to find a political solution to the current situation in Afghanistan, in line with talks held during the meeting of the foreign ministers of Afghanistan's neighbors. Tehran Times tells of talented Afghans getting scholarships. Iranian university to grant more scholarships to Afghans. At the seventh meeting of the Board of Trustees of Allama Tabatabai University, it was approved that the university awards scholarships to 35 faculty members and talented students of Afghanistan annually with the aim of expanding scientific and cultural ties between the academic community and the media of the two countries. Accordingly, Allama is the first Iranian university to offer scholarships to faculty members, talented students, and Afghan journalists since 2016, with the aim of expanding scientific and cultural ties between the two countries. The number of recipients of this scholarship in previous years was 20, which has increased to 35 this year. Some 57,675 foreign nationals from 133 countries are studying in Iranian universities, many of whom have returned to their country with the outbreak of the pandemic. Afshin Akhundzadeh, an official at the Organization of Student Affairs, has said. That would be it for the news segment, but do stay tuned. A number of scientific board members of Tehran University's medical faculty have set out to provide medical services to Afghan nationals in Yas Clinic. Some 25% of corona cases in the region are Iran's to deal with, but that is overshadowed by the situation in Afghanistan. At least it is to these doctors. The root medical problem would be insurance, but Iranian governments have been seeing to that to their best capability. Mr. Abedi is an Afghan affairs expert who joined us on Skype. Let's hear him out.
Currently, illegal immigrants to Europe are usually kept in refugee camps for years, but we see that many Afghan refugees are presently living in Iran's cities. They are able to utilize a plethora of services provided for them. Right now, aid services for impoverished areas and those living on the margins are being offered by the IRGC and Basij. These all-inclusive services are being implemented regardless of nationality and race and are also being provided for Afghans in Iran. Aid packages are being distributed amongst Afghans as well.
Yas Clinic is the first medical stronghold specially set up for Afghans, and several doctors' offices in Tehran have volunteered their free services to that clinic. That would be on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for all Afghans, be they passport or Amayesh card holders, or undocumented. The clinic started work late August in Tehran's Yas hospital complex and has offered services in several fields, namely brain and kidney surgery.
Iran has many good features for us, and without them, we wouldn't choose Iran as a place to live. Living here has advantages and disadvantages for us, but in general, I have been satisfied with conditions so far. I have many Iranian friends that I really care about, and I love the people of Iran. Many Iranians supported my cafe. Many also helped me with obtaining operational licenses.
Now, it's not just immigrants with high prospects Iran welcomes. There were some 3,700 exceptional Afghan students studying in this country as of August last year. Like Iranian students, they are provided with educational, rehabilitation, and physical training services. But what are future prospects? There are those in a hurry to get away and into Iran, but they got stuck along the way. Our principal's own sister is stuck in Mazar Sharif. That's closer to the Uzbek border than the nearly 950-kilometer border shared between Afghanistan and Iran. Still, she wants to come here.
My sister is over there with her five children. Before the fall of Mazar Sharif, she had begun the process of obtaining a visa to come to Iran. But unfortunately, the Iranian embassy there was closed. So now they are still there. But before the embassy closed and the arrival of the Taliban, Iran was expediting the visa issuance process. In this time, a visa that could normally take at least 2 months for approval was being issued in 3 to 4 days so that people who needed to leave could do so. So the Iranian embassy was very cooperative and helpful with the situation.
Afghans appear to favor Iran for language, culture, tribal, and historic commonalities with this country, commonalities the Americans appear to have tried to dampen during their 20-year occupation of Afghanistan. Doesn't sound like any such efforts actually worked, though.
Because we share the same language, if you go to Kabul and speak with an Iranian accent, most people will understand what you're saying. But they may not understand the Farsi accent of a person from Tajikistan or Uzbekistan. This is because we both share similar language and cultures. People here wear hijab and they can identify with Iranians and their lifestyles.
Dari, the Afghan dialect of Persian, is one of Afghanistan's two official languages and is used by intellectuals and the elite. Until 1857, Herat was a part of Iran, and only after Iran and Britain signed the Paris Treaty of 1857 did Iran abandon its claim, although it did reserve the right to send forces to Afghanistan if its frontier is violated.
Afghanistan as dure ye.
Afghanistan was part of Iran in the Achaemenid period, in the era before Islam known as the Aryan period. In modern history, colonial competition was taking form in the region between Britain and Russia in the 19th century. Britain's goal was to preserve its interests in India in this colonial period. During the Qajar dynasty, Britain encouraged the Afghan ruler in Herat to separate from Iran. At this time, two battles broke out between Iran and British forces. They also took over some of Iran's islands in the southern seas. During this time, Britain forced the Qajar king, who was considered to be dependent on foreign nations, to sign the Paris Accord, which separated Afghanistan from Iran.
This is not to say there's no work to be done in Iran by stretching its means, but only to a point of not breaking. Iran, after all, is suffering an economic plight of its own. Iran has inclusive policies, which is why refugees and even undocumented foreign nationals affected by COVID-19 can approach hospitals and health posts and access free of charge COVID-19 testing, treatment, and hospitalization, in the same way Iranian nationals can. It's basically a matter of luck where you get hospital bed and service, public or private. In 2020, a third of the 300,000 most vulnerable refugees got to get enrolled in health insurance, given COVID-19 had stretched the health services really thin. International support is needed more than ever in this country to avoid exacerbating refugees' vulnerabilities. In emergency situations like what Afghans are facing, even short-term aid counts. Beginning April 2020, UNHCR and the Iranian government rolled out a gift cards project that consisted of one-off cash grants to cover 3 months' worth of minimum expenditure baskets. As of June 2020, almost 5,000 persons had been assisted with this gift cards project.
Living conditions have been good in many ways. Right now, we are able to obtain driver's licenses. Of course, those who have passports are able to get driver's licenses. They can open bank accounts and purchase cell phone numbers in their own names, and many other facilities have been given to us, which are, in my opinion, among the advantages meeting our needs.
As for political solutions to Afghans' agony, early in September, the Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian had a chat with former Afghan President Hamid Karzai to confirm Iran's support of dialogue among all groups in Afghanistan. This would be to form an inclusive government which reflects the ethnic and demographic makeup of the country. This is the only way for Afghanistan to reach lasting peace, Abdollahian said. Karzai confirmed he and other elders were engaged in negotiations with different groups, including the Taliban. Abdollahian also said Iran would keep its border crossings with Afghanistan open to ease the current situation in that country, and it would continue to trade with Afghanistan. Keeping the border open all along, however, was not feasible. Families are getting through, but border guards are wary of single men, as they could be drug dealers or terrorists, going by accounts. That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do return to the box at the same times next week and each week after, though, as you never know what's on. Till next week, bye.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
وإنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي صلى الله عليه وآله.
The words of Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام in dialogue.
صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the son of the commander of the faithful Imam Ali, the son of the Lady of Light, the esteemed Fatima, the grandson of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the beacon of light which guides towards certitude and conviction. The one who has eloquently said, the person who likes you diverts you from wrongdoing, while your enemy will entice you towards disgusting actions. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the master of martyrs, these are his words. Imam al-Hussein's words at Al-Thalabiyya in response to a query.
قال الإمام الحسين عليه السلام إمام دعا إلى هدى فأجابوا إليه وإمام دعا إلى ضلالة فأجابوا إليها هؤلاء في الجنة وهؤلاء في النار وهو قوله تعالى فريق في الجنة وفريق في السعير.
An imam called for a right direction and some people answered positively towards it. And another imam called for an immorality, and some people answered positively towards it. They, the former group, will be in paradise, and they, the latter group, will be in the fire. And this is his, the exalted Allah's statement, a group in paradise and a group in the hell.
السلام عليك يا أسير الكربات السلام عليك يا السلام عليك يا أسير الكربات ويا قتيل العبرات السلام عليك يا أسير الكربات ويا قتيل العبرات أترجو أمتي قتلت حسينا شفاعة جده يوم الحساب. السلام على الخد التريب.
And now let's listen to Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr al-Ruhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. Sallallahu alayki ya Aba Abdullah. When Imam al-Husayn al-Salam was advancing toward Iraq, he reached the station of Thalabiyya. Over there, he received a question, that is, someone encountered Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and asked him of his rationale, of his raison d'etre for his movement toward Iraq. Then Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam answered that person that in such a movement, a true Imam, that is a true infallible Imam, invited people to the line of guidance. Some people accepted the mission of the mission and advice of the infallible Imam. Yet another leader invites people to the hellfire. And in this way, Imam al-Husayn al-Salam meant the Umayyad hegemony, and at that time specifically, Yazid, who invited people to the hellfire. Because of this, those people who join the infallible Imam would be led to paradise. And those people who follow the tyrant ruler would certainly go to the hellfire. And then he indicated that it was an interpretation and a manifestation of the Quranic evidence and Quranic verse, in that a group in paradise and a group in the hell or in the hellfire. Now we find that the movement of Imam al-Husayn al-Salam was a distinguishing movement or a distinguishing line, a sheer dividing line between the right and the wrong, in that the movement of Imam al-Husayn al-Salam was absolutely and entirely right, in contrast to the camp of the Umayyads, who led everybody to the hellfire. And we find that those people who followed the line of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and were martyred on the day of Ashura in Karbala, we find that all of them remained eternal figures, not only in Islamic history, but in the world history forever, for good and all. However, those people who followed the line of the Umayyads, nowadays we don't know where the bodies were buried, let alone the thoughts to be any developed. Sallallahu alayki wa abdullah.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Dialogue. We hope that you remain under the auspicious grace of Imam Hussein today and always.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.